You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Wayne Fritz. Wayne.
Hey, Bruce, how are you this afternoon?
Doing well. Beautiful day out there today here, and enjoying a nice summer day. I guess school starts for many folks next week, so everybody enjoy the time that you have before your kids go to school, and we'll see how this all, the new waves of COVID affect things. Hopefully many people will be spared of that, but we'll be ready.
I'll tell you, I had a great weekend. I was out at Eagle Mountain Lake all weekend.
Oh, you were?
And it was beautiful. Thank goodness for the breeze, but it was just perfect with that wind. I was sitting under the trees, out on the lake in boats and sea-doos and barbecuing. And I was with our good friends, Greg and Teddy, and their families. And we just had a flat-out blast.
Oh, that's great. So they have a place out there?
Actually rented one this time.
Oh, okay.
Great big house right on the lake. That's
the way to do it.
I mean, that came from everywhere. We just had a blast.
It was excellent.
And well, it was well needed. I didn't even realize how much that was needed. So it was great. But I'm looking forward to the show today. This is my second one, Bruce. So, man, I'm kind of dumb and silly, but, man, I'm excited. And you can't hardly beat excitement.
Well, that is good. That is good. Well, let me tell you, this week weekend had a chance to see a UFC fight, and man, that was something. And got to visit with some of the folks, and just continue to learn more about those type of clients and the situations they have. You know, we've seen, you know, in the news with Simone Biles exiting like a contest, you know, in the preservation of her mental health. And so whether, you know, regardless of the sport, whether it be mixed martial arts, fighting, boxing, gymnastics, equestrian events, these athletes, you know, really are tasked with having to maintain a competitive and focused mindset as they go in. You know, and a lot of these folks in the fight game really they can't afford to pass. And it's amazing that mental state has to prevail. Not only before the fight and the weigh-ins and the press conferences and all the, you know, social media, there's people that love you, there's people that hate you, and you can't pay attention to that stuff. You got to stay focused. And that's what happened with this gentleman that won the heavyweight interim belt. He's from France. Nobody, you know, just because he's a foreigner, a lot of people don't like him. He's a nice guy. I had a chance to talk with him. But man, he kept his focus, and he beat the fool out of his competitor. And man, that guy just folded. I mean, and I know the competitor, Derek Lewis, he's an emotional fighter and those things. And man, once it got past a certain point, this guy was just all over it. So it really is a complex challenge, I think, to coach these folks. And it's kind of hard to have a good mindset when you're getting beat up in there, Wayne, or
can't imagine.
Yeah, in those heavyweight brackets, heavyweight, light heavyweight, even middleweight, man, you're just one punch away. It just takes one punch. Ooh, let me get that turned off. So yeah, I mean, it only takes one punch to get knocked out. So, you know, you're just one punch away from being unconscious or losing, and the stakes are so high for some of these folks. You know, my background here, there's pictures of them, and these folks, this is how they eat. This is how they do life. This is their livelihoods, and and they only have so many years to maximize this, because at some point, you have to leave the fight game. You know, boxers and when you're hitting, your chin only holds up anywhere after 40 years of age. You just can't take them on the chin like you used to. I mean, some of these guys can. And I've seen a couple of 40-plus-year-old fighters that have still have a good chin, but it's not the same chin as they had in their 30s and 20s. And so, you know, at some point, after so many fights or just sparring for so long, you'll have to exit the fight game and then rely on other endorsements or other things. So, anyway, just sharing.
That's where the term that probably the glass jaw came from. I watched some of the Olympics over the weekend out there at the lake when I'd come in the house to cool off a little bit. But one thing I did catch is something when you talk about focus. I caught the horse jumping.
Uh-huh.
I just haven't
watched it.
They were jumping. And I watched them, and boy, those are graceful animals, you know, jumping those fences. But what I really noticed, you know, it's a simple thing when you said stay focused. Well, with an animal, you can help an animal stay focused. Right. They put blinders on those horses, and those horses don't see anything out the side, right or left. All they see is that fence. All they're focused on is that fence. They don't have anything else coming at them. And it's funny that even the crowd was quiet, and the only thing you might hear was an excellent jump. You'd hear a golf clap.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Very quiet, very golf. Nothing that scared those horses or scared. So they kept them focused. The whole idea of that is focused.
Well, you're holding the horse with your legs. You got spurs, right? You got spurs, and then some of the riders have crop. Not all of them, but some, depending on the event, they'll have a crop, a 4-foot crop. And so then you got a bit in that horse with the, you know, so there's a whole lot of mechanisms when you add up the spurs, the eyes, the bit, and then even a crop, and then, you know, and hold, you know, pull on the reins.
Well, they keep them focused.
Woo.
And yeah. I'll tell you, then it comes down to the rider. You know, that rider's got to be focused. So then you bring in a team effort. It's kind of like that fighter, I'm sure, that you're talking about. They've also got somebody on the other side of that screen or other side of that rope that's coaching them.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, so and another thing about a horse is that that's why horses are used in therapy. They're used in rehab centers and mental health counseling. You have equine-assisted therapy, but like dolphins, you know, horses have a sense. They kind of know where you're coming from. They know if you're scared of them. That's one thing. They can read right through you, man. And if you're scared, they know it, and they'll take advantage of it, and you just won't get the same result out of a horse, you know. And we're going to have – a guest on here that's really going to break this down to us. You know, she's a kind of an amateur, but they call them shamateurs, whether professional amateurs, you know. But she's, you know, she'll be on the show here real soon to explain that. But as a matter of fact, I've been to some of the horse events, and riders like, oh wow, you know, my horse really likes you, and I'll be like, and I'll be walking, I'll be. You know, walk up to him, you know, have a little thing that I do with the note. Man, how do you know that? Like, I just know, you know, he likes you, man. He's trying to figure you out. He knows you're not scared of him, but, you know, it's so even within 40 seconds of interacting with the horse on the ground, you know, that relationship starts, right?
Yep, that's right. So, and you know what? It actually comes back to people while we're waiting on your guest. I mean,
well, there is no guest. There is no guest, by the way. I'm just saying, in the future, we're going to have the guest.
Oh, okay, great, great, great. Well, you know, there's a lot of sayings in sales, and that's what I always bring things back to. Is there's never you never get a second chance to make a good first
impression.
And you know, there's a lot to that. People know I was raised in direct sales. That's been my entire career. And direct sales, it's eyeball to eyeball, belly button to belly button. I mean, I started in the business and. I would cook a dinner.
Right.
I would cook a dinner on our product in front of five or six couples that I didn't have any idea who they were. Right. And they would come in like this, you know, they'd have their money, their hand on their wallet and their arms crossed. They weren't listening. And you've got a real fast get them excited about your product. You've got a couple of hours to do that, and everybody has priorities on their list. Even if they're not written down, they have a priority list on what they want to buy or what they want to get. And heck, Salad Master, didn't mean to say the word, but the cookware is not even on their list. So as a presentation, you have to build to where you put it on the list and you bring it all the way from the bottom all the way to the top to where it's the number one priority and they want to do it right now. And right. That takes a relationship building. They know right away. That's why I used to break the show down into three parts. And the first part was get acquainted. It was fun. And you build that relationship. Second part is they eat. And the third part, I'm giving my technique away, but the third part is that's when you back the hearse up and open up the door and let them smell the roses.
Right.
In other words, that's when you break it all down. But it's three parts. And that's the same as horses or sports. You have a relationship. You have to have the support behind you. And you've got to be able to go out there, and you have got to be on. You can't just, we used to call it, people today don't know the term, but have you ever heard Digger O'Dell, the friendly undertaker? Right. You know, you can't be that. You've got to be excited. You got to be motivated. You got to be going. You're on every second. I'd have my friends used to ask me, say, hey, Wayne, why don't you meet us for a beer after you get done with your show? Oh, my goodness. I couldn't. I'll tell you, Bruce, by the time I was finished with the show, I was worn. It was all there. I put it all at the show, everything I had. Right. I didn't have any more to go out and party. That's what sales should be.
Absolutely. It should. So we'll talk about what we're doing with some of our clients. So this recently, I guess, speaking of fighters, there's, I think last week I talked about uncertainties with the contracts and then representation with the contracts. And then, like I said a second ago, these guys and ladies are concerned about their future. And so some of these folks are quick to do a side endorsement deal with, say, a lot of them do something with supplements.
Yeah.
Acme supplements. Okay. I'm just going to make that up because that's what's on the
Okay. That's what Roadrunner uses.
Yeah. Roadrunner and
Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah. So I'm this fighter. And I kind of know my days are limited. So I'm going to sign a deal. So if I have a winning streak and I have Acme supplements comes to me, I'm going to do a deal with them for so long. And then on my social media, I'm going to say, oh, I drink Acme energy drink, or, oh, I take Acme protein to help build muscle, or, I take whatever Acme, what XYZ. So they'll jump in these supplement types of, contracts. And some of those have some pretty funky, fine print, and they can get in trouble that way. So it's, trouble. They can give themselves sideways with the fight contract. They can get themselves sideways with a, an add-on contract, side hustle type of thing. Hey, it's understandable to do that, and it's fine to do that, and they allow you to do that, right? So I was with this guy, and he says, "Yeah, man, he's from Brazil." And he says, "Well, I'm going down to, let me get this off the screen." He goes, "I'm going down to Mission, Texas." I said, "Why are you going down to Mission?" He says, "Oh, well, that's where the supplement company is." I said, "Man, that's near the border crisis." He's down there in Rio Grande Valley. He says, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, man."
Oh, man.
"Yeah, be careful down there." So he just, he was so happy to have the contract. And so, yeah. And so he texted me this morning. He said, "Yeah, you're right. It's a little bit,
Yeah, I tell you, you can go down there on any given Saturday night right now and get yourself sliced up.
Yeah, it's more like Mexico down here than it is.
Yes, sir.
Texas. So it's like, yeah, and so that's, and no big deal for him. He's a Brazilian guy and came up from some pretty hard circumstances. Of course, he can handle his own, but, he'd been in Florida and Texas for a while, or, visiting, Houston and Dallas, but not,
anyway.
Fun stuff, man. A little bit. groups, a little bit of trial and error, and don't want to have, you know, part of our job as coaches is to at times advise our clients on choices that they're making that, you know, may have some interesting consequences. So.
Yes. Bruce, if I could jump in here a second, you know, sure. I just was talking with someone I was listening in on a coaching call.
Okay.
And it was in the business I grew up in.
Okay. And
the business I've detailed to be very simple. Sales business is a very simple business. Every salesperson you ever meet, they're looking for people to go talk to. They're looking for qualified prospects.
Right.
Everybody. That's the most important thing. Matter of fact, a good salesperson will spend 85% of their time prospecting.
Right.
85% of the time and 15% only in front of a qualified prospect. Okay. And they'll be successful. They'll be very successful. But the key is it are those referrals or bookings. And then the next part of the key is they have to build. I don't care. Multi-level especially, that's your key. You've got to build with everybody. The Federal Trade Commission now is getting after all the sales companies about using certain words. And like you said, a fighter can get off on the side and do something, but he could get in trouble not knowing it's not legal. There's just some weird stuff in there. The FTC is looking into sales companies that say recruiting. Are you believing it? That a word called recruit, they don't like, and they'll come after you. So you have to build. You can't talk about what people can make because everybody can't make that. So you've got to, you know, you just have to be careful about earnings. So many laws are getting after all of us on, but our business is simple. We still have to find places to go. We have to build. We have to build teams, whatever we want to call them. We have to do constant training, and we have to teach how to close a sale. That's it. There isn't anything else. There isn't anything else. I call it the square. It's across the top is booking, across the one side is building, across the bottom is training, and across the last side is the sale. But the booking is most important. A lot of salespeople walk in looking for a sale. So I'm watching this person or this call, and they're talking about everything at a 30,000 foot level except the basics.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so funny that everybody is guilty of that. They get off on the side, and I won't talk all the time here, but a guy by the name of Steve Jobs, I don't know if I said this last week or not, but he said the biggest mistake people in business make is that they take something very simple and they make it difficult. And that's what a lot of people do in sales, as in other businesses. And we must keep it simple. And, you know, when I'll tell you about those MMA, is that what it is? Your fighter friends.
Yeah, MMA.
They keep it simple. They go in there to win. They've got specific practices and techniques that they use. But it's a simple thing. Focus, focus, focus.
Yeah, until either the sale is closed or the mission's accomplished.
Yep. Yeah. And listen, on every presentation I've ever done, I'll tell you, I don't know if you know right off the bat too many people, but I got 100% closing average in my career. Every presentation I made, there was a sale made. Can you believe that? Everyone, 100%. Now, actually, I can say that that's happened to everybody. Because you see, either you're going to sell the prospect something, or they're going to sell you on why they're not getting it.
Wow.
So there is a sale made. It's either they sold you why they are saying no, or you sold them on they say yes. But there is a sale made. So,
absolutely.
And a good professional is the one that usually comes out with the sale. That's how it's supposed to work.
Well, that's good. That is good. I know our video is kind of slow, and
that's okay.
Hopefully it'll catch up on the show when we get it going. So, but we'll at least our audio is still good. So much. Now on your triangle thing, how much is the close? What percentage of emphasis is made on the close?
Well, let me just, please don't misunderstand me, but it's not a triangle. It's a square.
Square. Yeah.
But this is everywhere I go. I had a distributor one time several years ago. Every meeting I start off with a square. I don't care where I am in the world even today. That's what I do. Or when I'm coaching someone, I have to bring it to the basics. Because we get overwhelmed. We get off track. And Bruce, to answer your question, I'm bringing it around to an answer. Please, Your Honor, I will get to the answer. as the attorney said in court. But number one, that's why booking is most important. See, if people know you're there, in my business, it's direct sales. So they have to know that I'm there. Number one reason is that I hope you and your wife, Bruce, enjoy this presentation so much that you want all of your family and friends to see it, and you want me to show them. So the most important reason I'm here is to book shows, to get referrals. Then I go to building. My presentation takes care of offering the opportunity. I won't go in detail about it, but and then there's training. If we study and study, the sale will come. Either people will invest or they won't. It's kind of like going to church on Sunday, which we do. And if you'll sit there and look around your church next Sunday, and everybody will stand up, be singing, everybody will be praying when it's time to pray, and everybody will be worshiping God and just having a grand old time. And everybody is sold. But by the end of the service, not everybody bought. we all know that. I mean, I didn't buy for most of my life until finally I bought. And man, when I bought, you pick up your cross and you follow.
So, you said, there's that, they're sold, but there's that, that's that feel good component to it, but they haven't bought yet. So there's that bridge, that chasm, right? That gap.
Yep. They didn't see people's either. Here would be my question to you. Bruce, let me ask you a question. Most people aren't sure if they like something and they want it, they get it. Wouldn't you agree? If they like it, they want it, they get it. And I'll be talking about that, then I'm going to say, let me ask you a question, Bruce. Did you like it? Would you want it? Then we can go ahead and get it. But not everybody gets it. They just don't. So you take a drink and move down.
Okay, so what if they say, well, look, Wayne, I'd love to have that Maserati. I like it, but I don't know if I can get it because it's a Lamborghini. It's kind of the.
Well, Bruce, let me ask you a question. If I can help you get that this evening, can we just put that out of the way and go ahead and get it?
If we could get the cost aspect taken care of?
If I can get your cost. If I can get everything taken care of where you like it and you can get it, can we go ahead and do business this evening? See, what I want to do is I want to throw the question back to you because there's in our business, in any business, in any sales, there's four objections. And there's only
overcoming resistance, right? Yeah, go ahead.
But if I do a good presentation, I won't have that objection.
Right.
But there's four objections. It's number one, I can't afford it. That's the first, that's an objection.
Yeah.
Another objection would be, it costs too much. In other words, somebody with a lot of money could say, hey, that just costs too much. Another objection would be, let me think about it. You'll say, well, we always pray before we get anything. We never buy anything first time we see it. Let me think about it. It's always that. And then another one is just come back later. In other words, now's not a good time. My daughter's going off to college or we just bought a new car. You got two boys going to college. So it's not a good time. I love it. I'd love to have it. I want it. But now it's not a good time to come back later. So those are the four objections. And anytime we get something, it has to fit under those four.
Okay.
So we have to guide them to that, to where it fits under one of those four. And it's just that simple. So if I were talking to you, it might be you've got two boys in college right now. I mean, this is what it is, you know.
Okay.
Hey, listen, wait a minute, Bruce. I better stop. We want to be careful here now. It gets a little sensitive. Because, see, if I overcome that objection, you need to call your wife, and I'm coming out about 2 days to bring your set. So if we do this right, I'm delivering a set to your house in 2 days. So be careful. That's what I'm warning you right now. Be careful, because you're going to fall right into this.
Okay.
No, anyway, so your objection would be maybe come back later. You like it, you want it, but it's just not a good time.
Okay.
And so I'm going to look in there now. Are your kids going away to college, or are they going close to home? Are they going to stay home and eat? Or
away.
They're going to be away. Okay, so it'll be just you and the missus.
Right.
Yeah, now, how many, let me see, I usually have a sheet of paper I've given at the beginning of the presentation. It's called a lifestyle questionnaire. And it asks how many times you eat out and how much you spend on food and all that kind of stuff. So I'd be going through that. I almost hate to do all this, but I'm happy to. But our cookware, really, we fry meat with no oil. I mean, like, do you like fried chicken?
Yes, I know that. I happen to know that, but yes.
Let me ask you a question. If I could show you how to fry all your meats without grease or oil, would that save you any money whatsoever?
Oh, of course that
would. It would, wouldn't it? See, yeah. So what I'm doing here is I ask a question. I already know the answer to it. I was told years ago by a defense attorney, he said, Wayne, never ask a question of anybody on the stand that you don't already know the answer to. So
that's right.
I'm going to build questions that I know the answer to, okay? And so I would ask that because I already know you're going to say yes. And I'll affirm. We're teaching a sales class here. I would affirm your yes because I'd say it would, wouldn't it? You're the one that said yes. I said, you're right. It would, wouldn't it? So see, I've got that. And then let me ask you another question, Bruce. If you could cook all your fruits and vegetables without oil or without water, where it'd retain up to 93% of the nutrition, you could certainly see how that'd benefit your health and your wife's health, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
You sure could, couldn't you? See, I'm reaffirming this because when I've shown you in real life how this works, other ways, when you put a drop of water in your food or you cook your food in water or microwave or steaming, it's destroying nutrition immediately. So you're eating dead food. You're eating great. And then what do? You listen like that wrestler. Or that fighter, they go down and do you know how many billions of dollars people spend on supplements? See, when realistically, Bruce, let me ask you a question. You know, God created the heavens and the earth in 7 days, didn't he? Say yes.
Yes.
And he took the seventh day to rest. But on every day when he got finished in those 6 days, he'd look down and he would say, that is okay, that'll do. Is that what he said? That'll make it. That's not quite right, but it'll work.
Yeah.
Is that what he said? No. He looked down every day at the end of the day and he said, that is good. You see, everything that he did, everything that God created, at the end of the day, he would say, that is good.
That is good.
He didn't say that. That's maybe not quite right, but it'll work. No, it's good. So you see, everything God did was good. What happens is we take it, we mess around with it a little bit, get it all goofed up, then we have to go out and create our own. Where really, that all the things in the earth, all the fruits and the vegetables that God created, they're perfect. They're good. They have substance. I read in the paper just the other day that there was a murder in Bedford, Texas. I don't know if you saw it in your paper or not, but said there was a woman, they caught her in the kitchen. She had the knife in her hand, so she was a guilty one. And what she had done is she had killed a potato. She had murdered it. And it was a long story, but they said it was terrible. First of all, she picked it up and she cut its eyes out so it couldn't look at it. And then she took that knife, and it was a sharp knife, and she skinned that potato alive. Can you imagine that? Skinned it alive. And then she got going. You know, once you get your energy going and that blood rushing through your veins when you got that kill on your mind, she took that potato and chopped it up in little pieces. And then she get to thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? She got a pan of boiling hot water and threw it in there to try to scald it to death. Then she would take a fork and a knife and she'd stick down in there, trying to because he'd try to get out, she'd poke it back down in that hot boiling water. And pretty soon, and she'd pick it in that potato, grab onto that fork, it wouldn't let go, and she'd drop it down in there again until finally when she poked it, it would slide off the fork. It just couldn't hang on anymore. It was dead. Oh, she drained the water off of it, and then she beat the dickens out of it and put salt and pepper and butter on it and put it in front of her husband and said, "Now here, honey, here's some good mashed taters." So in Salamaster, we don't do that. You retain all the natural vitamins and minerals. And wouldn't you agree that'd be better for your health and the health of your families?
Absolutely.
So see, I would build that up through the presentation. When it comes down to the time, all I'm asking at the end is, Bruce, let me ask you a question. Which set do you feel would fit your needs best between these two sets? Because that's all it comes down to. So it's fun, but you have to learn it. You become a student, just like anything else. You have to become a student of it. You have to have a desire, and you want to become a student of whatever you're doing. Doesn't matter if you're selling pencils. My eye doctor, when I was in high school, he told me, he said, "Wayne," he knew I was going to be a salesman for some reason. He said, "Wayne," he said, "if you're going to sell anything, sell something real big like trains. Sell something that costs a whole lot of money so you make a whole lot of money."
Right.
You just don't, you know, kind of remember little things that people tell you. That was my eye doctor, Dr. Andrews. So, but anyway, sales can be so much fun if you study it and you never stop learning. Never stop learning. Never, never, never.
Yeah, it sounds like, like you're deconstructing. I don't know if this is.
I can kind of see it.
Well, you see, it says the word resistance.
Yes. Resistance,
and then below that has response, and then it has like a decision tree. So it sounds like when you're, like you said, oh, you know, come back later, and okay, then you have this inquiry, then you have a couple of other, you know, if it's this, you say that. If it's that, you say this, right?
Yes,
you kind of.
That's kind of it. The thing of it is, Bruce, is when you're actually doing a close, you don't have to know many closes. You don't have to know, really, you just have to own it. So when you're looking at that, that's correct. What I would put across the top is I would put those four objections, and then I would put how we overcome those under each one. Because that's the same thing. It's each one needs, there's a resistance, and then you have a response, and it's what's response you're going to use. But you don't need a lot of answers. You just need one or two, but you need to know them real good.
Exactly. So you teach. So on those four, do y'all give in-depth classes on, okay, here's how you handle the, you know, come back later. Here's how you handle the, it's too much. Here's how you handle the, I can't afford it. You know, you have separate kind of clinics for each.
Yep. And that's why, and they are fun, but then we have all the PowerPoint presentations today. And I got away from that, and I'll tell you why. People will say, "Well, can you send me that? Can you send me that PowerPoint presentation? Can you send me all that and through the email, and I can print it out?" No, I'm old school. Some things are still need to be old school.
I need you to pay attention, right? I need you to be attention in this moment. Yeah, no, I get it.
If you write it down, you're committing it to memory. If you don't write it down, it goes away. If I send it in paper, it becomes a floor mat in your car.
Right.
Yeah, we gotta do this seriously.
Or psychologically, it tells a person that they don't necessarily have to pay. Oh well, I'm going to get the PowerPoint on this, so I can kind of doodle or do something else. You know.
Yep.
I don't have to pay as much attention because after all, I'm getting the PowerPoint. So.
It's important. I always say that if you're going to be there, be all there.
That's right. Be mindful. Be there. 100%. Mindfulness. Be there.
So I love, you know, I love what I do, but it comes down to the same thing when we're coaching people. That's what I learned from you. I mean, you're amazing.
Well, thank you. But you are too. And man, you have experience and credentials to back it. I'm, you know, we're coming at it from different ways. I'm coming at it from more of the mental, psychological way. I mean, you are too, but more of a clinical way. And you're coming from a psychological, but also from a very traditional sales oriented way. Well, at the end of the day, our clients are having to sell. First of all, they're having to sell themselves, right? Either sell themselves to somebody else or sell whatever vocation, you know, whatever they're doing. So, I mean, at the end of the day, these techniques, particularly the overcoming objection techniques, are crucial because we all overcome. Well, we all get faced with rejection of four or five or six flavors. We went through four there, and we want to get back to that too, Wayne. That's a good deal. So, I mean, and then what are people's biggest fears is the fear of rejection, right? And so here we are talking about these four types of rejections or resistances, but they could take the form of a rejection, right? And people may perceive that as a rejection, and they need to know how to overcome that. And the way that they overcome that is that they possess either the knowledge or the wherewithal or the skill to at least address the objection, right? I'm not saying you're just like a fight. You might win, you might lose. You might get the sale, you might not get the sale. You might win the person over, you might not win the person over. But hey, at least they'll respect you, right? Sometimes exactly. It's better to be, right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, if I know a lot of people that don't like me, but for whatever things I've said to them sometimes, but I some of those people respect me, you know what I mean? Or a lot of them respect me still. And then they'll come back and say, oh, you know, but having that respect is important. But so I think that's, and I'm fascinated to hear this stuff every day. I mean, I'm fascinated to hear about those four resistances. I mean, see, I feel like I'm 23 years old sitting into the sales 101 class and listening to Wayne, you know, and you know, some of that stuff I'll know, some of that stuff I'm not going to know, to be honest with you. And I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. Well, Chris, I might not be as patient. You know, it sounds like some of your techniques where you're deconstructing the resistance, you're like, well, we can do that. Well, what would you do if I told you you could do this? You know what I mean? You're really kind of walking them down this Roman road through their resistance, right?
You know, Bruce, you reminded me of something.
What's that?
You reminded me of something. It's just so funny when you said about patience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to fish.
Okay.
And I love to bass fish.
Okay.
And I grew up and didn't have any money, so I'd bass fish from the shore. But I'll tell you what, I never, I don't remember many times ever getting skunked. You know what that is, where you go out?
Yeah, you're fishless.
Because yeah. I would always catch something. Here's why. My favorite bait was a big purple rubber nightcrawler that I kept in baggies, and I poured anise over it. That's licorice. I used to have to go to the pharmacy to buy the licorice because you could only get it. And I'd pour that over so it'd really be, you know, smell like licorice.
Okay.
But here's where the patience come in. Now, I caught my bass that I mounted with that. But it's patience. That's the deal. It's not, you see bass fishing, they're casting, reeling on these big old $100,000 boats. I'd stand alongside the shore because I didn't have a boat. And I'd throw into the weeds, because I would make that North Carolina hooklets where you could not see the hook or feel the hook, so it'd go anywhere. I'd throw it out and I just let it sink to the bottom. You got to be patient even to let it sink to the bottom. I didn't want anything to do with it, just let her go. Let her go to the bottom. And then once it got on the bottom, I could tell because that line would be slack. When that would happen, I would start to raise the tip of the pole up, and as I brought it back down, I would crank it in to keep it just tight, not pull, but I would just drag that worm across the bottom.
Just enough tension on the line. Yeah.
If it went through the weeds, it would go through the weeds. If it went over a log, it would come over the log. It would just working its way around them. And I'm going to tell you what, pretty soon, a bass would come by and see that. Now, a bass would come up there, and he'd take that worm and put it in his mouth. And he'd waller it around. And then he'd spit it out, and he'd come up and go around again. But I'm sitting there, and I'm patient.
Wow, you wouldn't try to set the hook. You wouldn't try to set the hook.
I'd release it. I'd just drop it and let it lay for a minute.
Wow.
He's going to spit it out. Well, and then he'll come back, see, because he can't stand it. So he'll come back, and then he'll pick that up, and he may spit it out one more time, but pretty soon he's going to pick that up, and he's going to be headed for South Alabama somewhere that time. And that's when you set the hook, and you got a bass. And that hook will be right down in that gullet. And it's just perfect. I didn't get skunked. But it took me a while to catch a bass.
And it was that patience.
Yeah. And it's the same with the sale. Zig Ziglar, we all know Zig Ziglar.
All know Zig.
He was famous for saying this. When do you stop closing? He said, how many no's do you need to get? Because they say the average you need to get is 5 to 7 no's. He said, well, the best answer to that, he said, you keep closing until you see the red on a person's neck, when you see it start climbing, and before it gets to the bottom of their earlobe, you want to stop closing. That's when they want to throw you out. So you just have to know. You've got to learn, and you have to understand. You have to know people. You have to listen. Like last week, I think we had our ears with us, you know, so you want to be able to, you know, have big ears. You want to listen to your people. You've got to listen.
You got to listen. And as coaches, we have to listen. I know you had your ears last week.
Yep.
Just bring in some more props here as the weeks go on. But absolutely, man. I love that story, Wayne, because I'm like you said. You just showed patience with that licorice worm, and then you kind of know. At some point, that bass is going to come back and try to take that thing across the lake, and that's good to know. So, but yeah, and you know my experience, I have one fish that I mounted, and it was in Lake Owen, Wyoming, in the Rocky Mountains. It's called the Snowy Range. And it's west of Laramie, Wyoming, okay? Interstate 80, west of Cheyenne, you go into Laramie, you stay on 80 and go west a little ways, and you'll see the Rockies out there a little off-branch. Anyway, lake fishing, and I had that see-through water bobber and a wet fly. Same thing, Wayne, put it out there. But I'd let it hit the bottom or real close. I'd count. 1 1,000, 2 1,000, 3 to 8 1,000, and then just start to reel, right? This is lake fishing now. This is mountain lake fishing, so it's a little bit different. But sure enough, you know, I'd get one. But lucky for me, he tried to take it to Alabama. And boy, howdy, we got him up. He was about a 9-pound male rainbow. Everybody wanted me to eat him, but he's in the garage, so... and then my mother at the time, I think it was in her 70s, and 15 minutes later, she caught a 7-pound rainbow. So
holy moly,
on wet flies. I mean, that's living in Wyoming for you, at the time. Anyhow, but man, 3 times, Wayne, that's something, you know, let that fish come back again. Let that fish come back again. So that is good stuff, man. So. That's good techniques. Helping people overcome resistance and rejection. And real quick, I know we only got about 5 minutes, but do you guys teach, or do you teach your folks to, when they don't get a sale, how they can learn from the experience? Do you have any other things that, about dealing with rejection, any quick tips that you have?
Well, in sales, yeah, one of my best
I got you. What quick tips do you have for rejection?
The best one I would have would be go back to the square. Remember, the most important thing is booking. The most important thing is booking. And if you really know that, not just with your head, but also with your heart, if you know it, body, mind, and soul, that booking is the reason. Because you can be the best salesperson in the world, but if you have no place to go, you're not going to sell anything.
Right.
So booking is the most important. So, Bruce, what I try to coach people with forever is get that booking first.
Right.
Before you go for the sale, get the booking first. Get the booking first. Now, a couple reasons for that. Number one is there's another square called the booking square, but that's another day, okay? But, you know, we have to excite them, then we have to educate them how to get that free gift, and then we got to get a date. You can't just get wishes. You know, like they say, you know, I got 7 people that said they're going to book for me. Well, said they're going to book, that's not a booking. It's like telling, you know, you've seen, there's 7 girls at school that I'm going to kiss. Well, you won't ever get a chance to kiss a girl unless you get a date. So you got to have a date. So get the booking first. Now, here's the big reason why the booking comes first. If at the end of the presentation and you're closing, let's say they don't get it. Well, if you've booked, you've got another opportunity to get the sale when they have their show. So the booking is very important. If they do get it, you've got a real good customer now that is your host and hostess. They're going to help you sell the next set on their show. If you've got a new person and they go out there and they call me after the show, I want to talk to my salespeople, you know, a little bit. And like you said, if they get a rejection or just to motivate them and encourage them and recognize them. But let's say they didn't have a sale. I never asked for a sale. My question to you, Bruce, is, hey, Bruce, how'd your show go? How many shows did you book?
Right. Okay.
I booked 2 shows. Hallelujah, you booked 2 shows. That's awesome. Okay.
So we're measuring success by the booking, not so much by the...
Never. Listen, we cannot control results. We can only control activity. I can control how many shows I'm going to cook this week, but I can't control how many sales I'm going to get. I can just try to help it by making sure I have qualified shows, but either people are going to buy or they're not going to buy.
I love that, man. I love that.
So we've got to focus our recognition on what we can control, and that's activity.
And we got 2 minutes here. Would you say that if somebody has a booking, it's like the weather? There's a 60% chance that they'll sell on average. If there's a show with more than 10 in attendance, there's an X percent. You see what I mean? Are there any kind of...
Well, I'll tell you what, that's a good question. Yes, there is.
Okay.
Actually, believe it or not, it's first of all, 50% of the shows that you book, only 50% hold. That's what you want to have here. You want to be known, you got a 50% hold up.
Okay.
And we do shows now because you can't get 5 or 6 people as much anymore. People are too busy and everybody's working.
That's
but
true.
You have maybe 2 couples. So if you have 2 couples, you can have a 50% closing average. But nationwide, it always runs 1 out of 3. 1 out of 3, 1 out of 3, 1 out of 3.
Okay. That's good to know, man. Good to know. Well, that's, man, I appreciate you sharing those exciting sales wisdom there. And again, I mean, what I do from my perspective has always been old school, advertise, the phone rings, and it's a boutique perspective. It's usually the advertising or the referral, or they already know that I have what they need. You know what I mean? I'm the square peg in the square hole type of thing. So I've never really, until recently as a coach, really thought about, you know, marketing or, you know, going about receiving clients like this company does with receiving bookings and sales. So it's fascinating to me. I feel like a kid in the schoolroom. So, well, folks, there it is. There's another fantastic show here on the Concierge Coaches Show, LA Talk Radio. Come by our social media platforms. We're on Facebook, the Concierge Coaches Show. We're on Instagram, the Concierge Coaches. And I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And Wayne, how can folks reach you?
They can reach me, Wayne_515@yahoo.com.
There we go, folks. Well, there it is. That's a wrap. So have a blessed and safe week, everybody, and we'll see you here next time on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.